Welcome to the Transform You podcast, the Ask Me Anything podcast, where Jody and Thad answer listener questions about health, mindset, nutrition, sleep, exercise, and lifestyle. So if you've got a question you'd like us to tackle, please email it to us at transformyouquestions@gmail.com. That's transform, the letter U, questions@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with anyone who could benefit. And now, on to the episode. Welcome, everyone, to episode one of the Transform You podcast. So I am here with my husband, Thaddeus.
Hey.
And we are in lovely Costa Rica. So what's going on, Thad?
I just had an awesome pig roast yesterday. I had about a 25-kilo pig on a rotisserie. We cooked over wood for Zayden's birthday.
Yeah, one of our sons just turned 8 years old, so he celebrated out here. Lots of fun. So you may hear some birds chirping in the background, maybe some dogs, wild animals.
Howler monkeys.
So those of you who are new to us, Thad and I own three training studios in South Florida. They are Fit Body Boot Camps, and we've asked our member and just our Facebook audience to send us questions, which we will answer in this podcast. So they can range from anything and everything. We are going to go through some of our first questions and answer them here. And if any of you would ever like to submit a question to us, you can email it to us at transformyouquestions@gmail.com. That's transform the letter U.
Yeah.
Questions@gmail.com. Yeah. All right. So, well, we want to get started?
Yeah, let's get going. We have our first question. It looks like from Lindsay F.
All right. So Lindsay asks, hi, I'm interested in intermittent fasting. Does the pre-workout break my fast, the one y'all have? So short and simple, she is talking about our supplement from our Fit Body line. And basically what's in that has no amino acids. So the pre-workout we carry will not actually break your fast. It contains a neurological stimulant for focus and energy, which is caffeine from green tea. And it also has a circulatory stimulant for blood flow. But again, no amino acids, which the majority of pre-workouts do contain.
Also contains L-theanine, which is a super cool combo neurologically with caffeine, just to give you some focus. And it looks like they put choline as well. So it's some super awesome, found in egg yolks.
It's good yeah, for the brain.
A lot of cool brain supplements in these in this line. I'm a big fan of them.
So now the reason you probably would want to avoid any amino acids like branched chain amino acids is only if you're fasting for autophagy. Now, autophagy is this process where damaged components of the cells are recycled for newer, healthier components, and damaged mitochondria is also cleared away. So autophagy is like spring cleaning for your body.
It's one of the huge benefits of fasting overall, right?
It is. And the great thing is electrolytes will not break a fast either. So you can make sure that you have plenty of sodium, magnesium, potassium. Those are your electrolyte pumps, which is vital, especially when you're working out. So always make sure that you have lots of water and lots of salts so that you don't cramp, you don't get headache, you don't feel lethargic. Now, for fat loss, branched chain amino acids, the BCAAs, can actually still play a role. So in this case, fasted training has to do with your insulin levels in your blood. So when you guys eat food, it gets broken down into various molecules that your cells can use. And insulin is released to shuttle those molecules into your cells. However, insulin also blocks lipolysis, and that's your breakdown of your fat cells in your body. So when your body's in this fed state, when its insulin levels are elevated, it's absorbing nutrients that, you know, you've eaten. It has little or no fat burning that's occurring at this time. And just a fun tidbit too, whey protein, it's actually more insulinogenic. It releases more insulin than white bread. So a lot of people think...
Hold on, you're saying that's bad?
It's not bad, no. It does play an important role because we want to use insulin, this hormone, like a drug, because it can do wonderful things for us because it will build key components in your body, but you want to use it at the right time, and when you're fasting is not the right time. So save your whey protein for when you are in that eating state in your day. And BCAAs, they have a very small impact on insulin levels. And that will allow you to actually stay in a lower insulin level while you train. So a few people out there use it to just spare any lean protein that may occur, any breakdown of protein tissues whenever they work out.
And Jody, can I say something about BCAAs in general here? Just that there's a lot of conflicting research on BCAAs, whether they're benefits for fat loss and for building muscle while you train. There's a lot of interesting research. And one of my things that I always tell people is if you are consuming these for the idea of preserving lean and or building lean muscle mass, I would say just go with protein as opposed to a BCAA, because you're actually giving your body with real whey protein or a protein source, you're giving it the entire chain of amino acids to work with, whereas BCAAs are giving you three, valine, leucine, and isoleucine, usually what's included.
Correct.
And the other thing is, how does this apply to pre-workouts in general? Not everybody buys our pre-workouts that we sell at Fit Body Bootcamp. But other pre-workouts, if you were fasting, you'd want to find one that obviously didn't have sugar in it. There are still a lot of them that have sugar, maltodextrin, and other versions of sugar. And there are other ones that load up with BCAAs. So if you're going for the autophagy that Jody is talking about, those long-term super health benefits, then be sure whatever pre-workout you're taking doesn't include those things. You know, this is basically, our pre-workout's basically brain food. You know,
and
vasodilator.
And it contains zero calories, so you know you're not ingesting any caloric load at all. The sweetener they use, too, are super simple and clean. It's a stevia leaf extract with monk fruit, so it gives it a nice flavor. And the color in it's no dyes. It's colored with natural vegetables, which is beetroot juice powder. So.
Yeah, I mean, and before you turn your nose up at stevia, because I do, too, stevia a lot of times makes stuff taste weird. That combination that they mix in there with the monk fruit really makes it taste pretty good.
And we also have a line, too. It's called Everyday Fit. This is just a water enhancer to get you to drink a lot more water per day. And this comes packed with lots of great things for metabolism support, your brain. They're called neurotropic factors for mood, satiety. And it's a great little tool to have. Especially for electrolytes, because it does come with your magnesium, sodium, potassium. So you're having trouble getting your electrolytes, your salts in. It's a great way to add that to water quick and easy.
And this supplement does, however, have BCAAs in it. So back to what we said before, if you were going to take this or something like this and you wanted to stay in that fasted state, this probably wouldn't be the best.
Autophagy is what he's talking about. You'd still be in a fasted state because it's not going to spike your insulin. But however, it will take you temporarily out of the autophagy, which is the cleanup of your cells. But you will still be able to lose body fat. So I know a lot of clients are just trying to start this fasting thing, and it's, you know, hit or miss, and it's kind of a deal breaker when, you know, they can't put some cream in their coffee or, you know, maybe drink something with flavor in it. So this would be about the same as putting, you know, some cream in your coffee. Just your caloric load, your insulin load's not going to spike. So Everyday Fit's just fine if you want to continue on your fasted state and have some tasty water.
I mean, the other benefit to fasting in general is people that previously have eaten a lot of food or have a high caloric load. It helps. It's just a tool for people to not eat so much. And as long as they're focusing on getting their protein intake in, they can utilize fasting as a tool to give them a window to eat, so their caloric load overall the day is not as high as it used to be.
And when we're talking about fasting, for those of you out there who may be new to this concept, we're just asking you to shorten the hours of the day you eat your food. So it's a shortened eating window. So not even necessarily the quantity of your food is going to be less. It does sometimes tend to be because you just don't have that much time to eat and you find you're not as hungry. But all we're asking you to do is basically push the food window to about an 8-hour window. So most people choose somewhere between like 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. to eat their food. And that could be three meals, it could be two meals, it could be whatever is comfortable for you. And doing that, like we talked about, that autophagy, it gives your body a chance to actually clean up some dead cells, debris, junk, you know, make less dark circles and wrinkles on your skin. Just it's really beneficial for anti-aging. And it actually giving your body a break from having to digest food, right, is a wonderful enhancement for your energy supply, because digestion takes a lot of energy. And you'll notice that you actually start burning body fat without having to do a thing, because your body gets a chance to get the insulin levels low enough where it can tap into your body fat for your fuel. So it's just a great added benefit for a program.
You're kind of tipping into that ketogenic activity that goes on with the ketogenic diet. You're just only doing it for a short period of time.
So yeah. All right. So here, I think that question was answered. Next, we have one from Rick.
Rick C.
Rick asks, how do I get rid of fat at abdominum and sides so I can see all of my abs and obliques? Need to get rid of all the waist and abdominal fat. I'm at the North Palm location. Can you give me, can you give me routine exercises that focus on this area when I'm at home? Best regards, Rico.
Kind of a classic question that we receive in the gym all the time. How do I move fat from one spot? How do I get rid of it in one area? Do you want to tackle it or do you want me to?
Well, so I think this one is one that probably we could both tackle. And even some of our members are kind of familiar with this because it's kind of like a parrot phrase that we use over and over. You cannot spot reduce fat, unfortunately. I wish we could. You know,
and there is an entire industry of people selling workout equipment on TV at night, basically peddling a lie. Showing, yeah, if you work out your abs here, you're going to lose fat here, you know, with this magic machine. If you do this with your abs, you're going to lose fat in that area, and it simply doesn't happen.
Now, Rick, you can spot increase your muscle. You can increase that abdominal muscle underneath the fat, but you need to get rid of that layer of fat to see them. And I guarantee, Rick, you've got some abs under there. You know, we just can't see them because of the layer of body fat. So you want to focus on ensuring that your body is burning fat. Now, if you have more so in the abdominal area, that could be due to genetics, but it could also be due to your lifestyle. Stress tends to increase a lot of abdominal fat.
Visceral fat as well,
yes,
which is the worst kind.
So first step would be to make sure that you manage your stress in your life, meaning that not letting things, you know, piss you off, having coping mechanisms, meditation, sleep, right? Sleep is a great de-stressor. The more sleep that you actually get each night will help you decrease cortisol, which is one of the stress hormones. Making sure that's on point first, and then, of course, your diet. So intermittent fasting is a great way to actually help, you know, just speed up fat loss in general. So if you're not doing that, you might want to play around with maybe a longer fasting window. You can also do a little bit more nutritional protocols where you dial your fat down just a little bit in the diet, so your body uses the fat on your body instead of the fat that you're eating. Making sure your protein is high, keep that adequate, well. Make sure that you're not consuming excess processed carbohydrates, sugars. Be careful with that.
I think there's a misconception that's gotten popular with all these high-fat ketogenic diets, these books coming out, Gary Taub's books with their titles like Good Fat, Bad Fat, Good Calories, Bad Calories, the Time magazine cover with butter on it, where people have, we've shifted away from carbohydrates, but now some people have been like, hey, you can eat as much fat as you want, it's fine. I mean, I think if I were to pick a macro, that's the one I would select if I were going to go overboard with it. But it's still, fat's still a form of energy for your body to use. So if you're giving your body a ton of fat, or you're trying, a lot of people on, like I say, the ketogenic diets become really popular, and people are just loading up on butter. It's like,
yeah, you will be burning fat, but you're burning the fat that you're sticking in your mouth. So we want to be burning the fat off your body.
Yeah.
So once your body's regulated to our nutritional protocol, where you're on a lower carb approach, you can try to play around with the fat. You only need as much fat for your hormones to do their job. And it's individual for each person, so you got to just kind of play around with a point so you're not feeling tired and run down, that your hormones are firing, that you feel good, and just kind of play around with it. That would be one of the best tips. And for abs, I'm telling you, Rick, all you need to do is make sure your core is engaged with every single weighted exercise and any cardio exercise you do with us, and your abs will get strong. Personally, myself, I do nothing outside of just the regular fit body workouts for abs, nothing. So I'm not like focused on my abs. I focus on the diet, just keeping them intact, strong whenever I work out. And eventually, if you follow the protocol, you'll start being able to strip off the layer of body fat and see them.
And speaking of common things, parroted in the kitchen, they always say abs are made in the kitchen, right? I'm sorry, parroted at the gym. Abs are made in the kitchen. So, and that's so true. So.
Okay.
All right, next one. I want to read this one. Can I read this one?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. So here's my question. Linda S., I have arthritis, 4 herniated discs, stenosis,
blah, 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 and
lower back from a car accident. My neurologist always refers to me as this perfect storm with all my back issues, and I was taking Tramadol for the last 15 years. Last year, I stopped taking because I was afraid of addiction. In my head, I believe, as I lose weight, the pain will lessen. As I strengthen my core, it will get easier to. But aside from the days when we focus on back, what type of exercises are best to do at night and off times, and how often should I do them? I confess I've now taken a Tramadol after the last few back and shoulder classes because I'm so uncomfortable the 2 days after those particular classes. But just one, never 4 a day like I was before. So thank you. Wow.
All right. So lots of things to unpack here. So my first suggestion that would be the easiest to implement would be taking fish oil. EFA, so essential fatty acids. They're special because they're building blocks that make our hormones, membranes, eyes, ears, brains, sex organs, and are a part of every cell in your body. And again, you must get these essential fatty acids from your diet because your body can't make them. So these omega-3 fatty acids are found in the body oils of cold water ocean fish like cod, mackerel, halibut, herring, and tuna. And the benefits of, you know, the essential fatty acid supplementation, they're vast and varied. So these guys are anti-inflammatory. And that means they can benefit most, if not all, types of inflammation. You might not be aware that heart disease is actually a form of inflammation. And that's why EFAs are currently recommended to all cardiac patients. The EFA supplementation greatly reduces the risk of many, many related conditions to cardiovascular disease, even like cancer, depression, inflammatory diseases of joints, connective tissue, kidney disease, renal failure, osteoporosis, asthma, prenatal, postpartum support, diabetes, insulin resistance, many other diseases as well. And it increases your resting metabolic rate and improves body composition regulation. These essential fatty acids, they are vital in accelerating fat loss by turning on the lipolytic gene, that's your fat burning gene, and turning off the lipogenic gene, the fat storage gene. So this would be potential for Linda to help with any inflammation she's dealing with. So in the past, you know, like days of old, caveman old, we consumed ample quantities of EFAs. We didn't suffer from arthritis or die from heart attacks. Generally, you know, we're eaten by lions or some beast.
Infection.
But, you know, as our diets, we've become more and more processed, more prepackaged. Our intakes of these essential fatty acids have dramatically plummeted.
Yeah, we had about a 1-to-1 ratio.
So we used to, yeah.
Even today, modern day hunter gatherers, their ratios range from 1 to 4 to 4 to 1, where we are between, for omega-6 to omega-3, standard American diet, we're between 20 and 30 to 1. So we're ingesting that much more omega-6 fatty acid.
That's crazy.
Which is, yeah.
And that's one reason we also tell you guys to avoid the processed oils. Sunflower oil is the highest in that inflammatory omega-6, and it's in every like health package product because a sunflower sounds very healthy. So when they slap sunflower oil on there, you think, oh, this is healthy. And it's the most inflammatory oil. And that's one way it just creeps up into all of our packaged products. That and the corn oil, soybean oil, cottonseed oil, safflower oil, all of them. So we have you sticking with good quality, you know, animal fats, avocado oil, olive oil, butter. So even going back to the essential fatty acids, one study actually showed that it can increase your metabolism as much as 400 calories per day. Per day. So that itself should be just a reason for all of the clients to take it. And that's one of the reasons I recommend this supplement to everyone. Now, how much do you take? So most fish oil or EFA pills, they're usually around 1,000 milligrams, but that 1,000 milligrams is only about 300 milligrams of the EPA and DHA. So what does that stand for? Well, the EPA is the eicosapentaepinephrine acid, and the DHA is docosahexaepinephrine acid. You don't need to know what those stand for, but that's the good stuff. That's the stuff we want, the EPA and DHA. So that means about only 30% of most pills, you know, is the stuff we actually want. So why is that a big deal? Because to get the optimal benefit, you're going to have to shove down tons of pills into your mouth, and that's never fun. So you want to find a source that's concentrated. And we found one too. It's in my Jody Run store. If you're interested in a concentrated pill where you don't have to take 6 to 10 of them, you can check out jodyrun.com/store. And I've got the fish oil in there, easy to grab. And actually FitBody is coming out with its own fish oil supplement line too. That's locally sourced. It's going to be cold pressed. Wonderful
magic
angels and unicorns are gonna make it, so I can't wait. So that's in route as well, but until then my store contains one that's high
also,
quality and good.
Vitamin Shop has a good one,
the Vitamin Shop brand, but again it does have a quality source, but you're gonna have to take a lot of them because it's not concentrated.
The big thing is don't buy the ones that don't specify EPA DHA, because they're usually just they're from like cod processing plants.
You have to be careful with oil because it's sensitive to heat and light. So you don't want to get one that's been sitting on a shelf for a long time or that hasn't been independently tested by another lab, because supplements, guys, they're not regulated. So they can tell you whatever the heck they want to. So unless they're tested outside of their company from an independent lab that tests the quality and what's in it, you don't know what you're getting. You don't.
So basically, Linda asked for, she has pain issues, so
right.
I'm assuming you answered the fish oil section for her pain issues, right? Something to test out, something to try for a few weeks, see how she feels. Now, she asked, what about particular exercises?
Okay, so
what did you do there?
What exercises are good? So you're suffering from lower back pain, and you said, you know, I need to strengthen my core. It's going to get easier. That's true, but it's a misconception that back pain is due to a weak core. So let me explain something here with muscle activation. It's called reciprocal inhibition. And all that means, reciprocal, you have pairing muscles. So you have a muscle that will move the joint and you have one that will move it back down. So they're opposite muscles. For example, you know, if you're doing a bicep curl, you got your bicep muscle that is the prime mover. And on the opposite end, you have the tricep, you know, the muscle on the back of your arm that brings it down. So those two are paired together. Now, when you think about your hip flexors, those are, how would you explain that? The muscles right here in your pelvis, when you sit down, that shorten. And today in society, guys, let's be real. We sit way more than we should, right? You sit in a car when you drive. You sit at a table when you eat food. You sit at a table when you do work. You lay in the fetal position when you sleep. You sit on a couch to watch TV. All day long, we're stuck with those hip flexors tight. Now, the opposite muscle of those hip flexors are your glutes, your butt. So what happens is, as that muscle, those hip flexors are tight, it sends a neural drive to the opposite muscle, your butt, telling it to relax. So all day long, while you're sitting, you're in that seated position, your glutes are getting the signal, relax, 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 relax. So because of that overstimulation to relax, it's really hard now to activate your glutes. And the glutes are one of the strongest and most important muscles on your body. So because of that, we get this droopy glute syndrome, where our butt just starts your butt just starts to sag. And it sags and sags because it cannot get activated. Now, why is that an issue for Linda's back problem? Because here's the thing. Anything you do for the back, like a bent over row, a deadlift, right, where you're trying to activate the back muscles, you're trying to activate your glute muscles. What happens is the glutes won't activate, so it pulls in the back muscles instead. So it overcompensates. It says, hey, we're weak, let's pull in some helpers, and it grabs your back. So now your back is doing all those heavy lifting that the glutes were supposed to do. And this is where back pain starts to surface. So one of my main suggestions with back pain is to activate glutes. So how do you do that? Well, any exercise where you just have that mind-body focus and you're using your butt to do the work.
Like an easy one at home would be glute bridges.
Glute bridges, hip thrusts, like lay your back on the edge of a couch. You can put a weight, a water bottle, a child over your lap and just thrust your hips forward, right? So constantly engaging your glutes. And once you have that activation, then you can start using the back for any exercise. That way you know that the glutes are strong, they're gonna do their job, the back's not gonna overcompensate for them. So my suggestion would be, of course, the glute bridges at the house, hip thrusts, the clamshells where your legs are laid out like an Indian position, feet are touching and you press up with the heels. Do those first, and then I would start with some bent over rows, Linda. So after your glutes are activated, you can feel them, you hinge at the hips, and you can use a little band. If you have any resistance bands at your house, put that over your foot, and you're just gonna pull back on that. And use, now you can focus on using your back, your lower back, to do the work.
Nice. And as always, be sure your protein intake's up too, so your body can repair and build.
Yeah, right? Sleep. Yeah, of course. You need sleep. To be sleeping for recovery, making sure that, I don't know how many, does it say how many classes she's taking, any sessions? I would say, you know, just making sure that you have adequate rest in your protocol, maybe doing three times. If you're doing more than three, you know, maybe knock it back just so you can prioritize the recovery part. So with your fish oil and sleep.
Right on. Okay. All right, here's the next one.
Daryl.
Hi, my name is Daryl, and I have a few questions in regards to the whole plan in general. With the nutritional plan, are we supposed to follow the book and its lists per instructor, or can we modify as long as portions are correct? On the same note, what can we do if there are food allergies to recipes and menus in the program? Besides the session, sleep, and nutrition, is there anything else we can do to help maintain our goals throughout the program? He's got a lot of questions in here. We're going to have to tackle them one by one here. Can we continue to use everything given after the 6 weeks to transform you, including workouts and
can
nutrition
you read
plan?
Slower and more clear? Why are you going so fast? They need to hear exactly what he's
okay,
asking.
Okay.
You're reading super fast.
Can we continue to use everything given after the 6 weeks for transform you, including the workouts and the nutrition plan? Thanks for all of the attention with these questions. Looking forward to see what I and others can learn from this benefit. Daryl. So,
I'm reading number one. Okay, I'll read the questions from here on out. So, so that was really fast and mumbled. I hope you guys understood that. So let's go back. Okay, so Daryl asked, are we supposed to follow the book and list per instruction, or can we modify as long as the portions are correct?
Daryl is on our Transform You program,
so
he has a full cookbook and everything. With
so most of our programs out there do come with nutrition. We make sure that it is always a done-for-you program. That way you don't have to guess about anything. But as I say, Daryl, there is no magic bullet in following that protocol. It's not like some magic's going to happen if you do every single meal all the time, every single day, and follow the plan. Or if you accidentally skip a breakfast, you're like, oh, crap, now the magic's not going to happen. Right? It doesn't work that way. So it's only there for you so you can build a habit off of it. Once you have the nutritional protocol down and you're able to do this habitually without even needing the book and you know what you're doing, you're golden, go for it, right? Do your own thing. You can use this kind of as a guideline here and there. This is also, Daryl, why I included the food matrix at the beginning of the book, so you can create your own quick and easy meals in there. That's a one-pot meal, right? You put some fat in there, brown the meat, you add your spices, your vegetables, close it, boom, done. Right, so that's so you can do your own thing quick and easy as well. And we also provide a foods list, right? That's for your ideas for substitution, right? Because you can substitute anything you like as long as it's, you know, within the nutritional protocol guidelines. And of course, your ultimate tool is Google. You can type in whatever ingredients you have. I like to type keto after it just so I know they're not going to add sugar in it. But you can also do low carb after it, and boom, you'll find tons of different recipes, tons of different ideas that you can do. And just be sure you really do know how to wing it before you try winging it, right? We don't want you to end up at McDonald's eating Big Macs because you winged it. So if you're confident in what you are looking for, by all means, do your own thing. And, you know, lean on us with questions or for guidance. And I also have a post in the private group. If you do a search in there, you'll find out how to eat healthy when you eat out at restaurants. So if you type in restaurants in the search in our private group, you'll see all of my tips and tricks and guidelines there.
Didn't Shannon just post a video with Kim at Longhorn Steakhouse? Where were they?
I think so, yeah.
They're ordering off the menu. They're live.
I think Daryl's Del Rey, maybe, though. I don't know if...
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I don't know if it was in the Del Rey group.
So next chunk of the question, besides...
But before we move on, Daryl, know that you can use that book as a tool forever. You know, feel free to continue to use the recipes, the ideas, as long as you want. You can recycle them. You know, feel free to stick with that book as long as you're happy with it. You can use it as a security blanket basically for the rest of your life. So don't feel bad if you want to keep using it and continue using it. It's what it's there for.
All right. Besides the sessions, sleep, and nutrition, is there anything else we can do to maintain goals throughout the program? So, let's see here. He's got the big three. Water intake. Be sure water intake is substantial when you're working out. One of the other big things is just kind of focusing on your mindset while you're doing this, because we all know that initial motivation when you start a program kind of fades a lot. You know, you get midway through and we just get used to it. And mindset is probably the most important thing to getting results in any challenging task we undertake in life. So monitoring your mindset as you move through, as your week's in, it's very important. Anything else here, Jody? Sleep and nutrition sessions?
Well, so, I mean, that's the ticket there. I mean, yeah. There's no magic bullet here, Daryl, at all. What you're doing is going to get you the results you're after. If you're doing the sessions properly, I mean, we can do some tweaks, but just making sure that you're prioritizing your sleep, because it sounds like you are, in the nutrition. Mm-hmm. And working out, you know, at the sessions with the maximum level of effort, making sure you're not cheating yourself, you know, stopping 3 seconds early, using heavier weights, going slower, really, really pushing yourself in that finisher, then that's your ticket. And you follow the nutritional protocol. And then if, you know, as you're on track to your goal, we always do a little measurement here and there with the body scanner just to make sure that we keep you on track and see if there's anything we can tweak for you.
Sometimes having some whey protein might be beneficial. If you test out some supplements.
It depends. It's all iffy on your situation. I would ask if you're seeing goals? If you are, continue what you're doing. If you're not, if you're way off on your goal, then come in and chat with us and we can kind of tweak some things here and there and help you out and see what we can do to try to jumpstart it, make it go a little faster. But other than that, you know, just make sure that your head's always in it, knowing that this isn't a quick fix, Daryl. This is lifetime. So you are doing this to make sure that you regenerate healthy cells in your body, to regenerate a healthier, stronger you, so you can always live disease-free, be healthy, climb stairs, play with kids, grandkids, neighbors, whomever, do all the things that you wanted to do and not have to worry about your body holding you back. And that's what this is about. You know, you only live once. You might as well make your body as optimal as possible and be as healthy and as strong and as happy as you can.
I just, my dad just turned 76 a couple days ago, and I just had a neighbor come over, and he said, my father-in-law's 75, and he's in a hospital in a wheelchair. And I'm like, it's just amazing how, and I know there are some factors we can't avoid, but 75% of those factors are lifestyle related, and there's the other 25% you have to work with, but lifestyle is just so important as we age. And I know my dad has stayed active, and he's out there shoveling dirt and swinging pickaxes and climbing up and down jungle valleys.
And you believe whatever excuse you tell yourself, so stop telling yourself excuses, right? You can do whatever, basically whatever you put your mind to it.
Jody, I'm 39 now. I needed to slow down a little bit.
Ooh,
all right.
You're so old.
I'm 39. All right.
Oh yeah, I'm 40.
What is this? You gonna read this one?
Yeah, let me
okay.
Talk about this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Mary Kate asks, "Hi guys, I love the Delray Bootcamp and the instructors and interns. They're upbeat and fun. It's the best 30 minutes of my day, to be truthful. They are wonderful, sweet, funny, encouraging to all. My question is about building muscle as we age. What can I do diet-wise to help with increasing muscle mass if possible? I would also like to build my muscles in my arms, legs, and of course my rear, specifically on the bottom where it tends to disappear with aging. Is there anything else I should be doing other than the class? I try to attend 5 days a week. I have seen changes and I'm stronger and my body has slimmed. I'm not trying to lose weight, but fighting against muscle loss, which will help with my skin tone and of course osteoporosis. Any thoughts, suggestions are appreciated. Mary Kate." All right, so with this, kind of the same similar concepts we were talking about with building muscle. You can build muscle at any point in time. The best tip for muscle is time under tension. So that means you want that muscle to be under some resistance for a good amount of time. And this will occur actually by picking up heavier weight and moving slower. So you want to be careful to not let momentum do the job for you. And it's tough in a high intense protocol like our sessions are. So you need to be really mindful of the moment you pick up those weights, you're not jerking them around. The movement starts as soon as you pick those up. So you want to think in your head, my core is tight. I'm going to get those weights. My movement has started now because the weights are in my hand and I'm going to place those weights exactly where I want them to go. Same with cardiovascular movements. You can actually get more muscle activation by placing your body where you want it to go. And I use the example all the time at the finisher whenever everyone's super tired and they're just kind of throwing their body around, just trying to last, you know, like jumping jacks. They're just like, oh, and their arms are going everywhere. Their legs are going, they don't even know where their body parts are going. If you can just be mindful and take out the jump and just step it out and say, I'm placing my hand here, I'm placing my leg here. You will activate a lot more muscle fibers and you'll get a more efficient workout just being mindful. So always think about that mind-body connection. You're going to activate and recruit more muscle fibers to build them. So time under tension, move slower. Also in our private group, Mary, I do have a post about how to build muscle. So if you just search muscle in the group, that will pop up and you can read more tips and tricks in that. One other thing too with muscle is it takes, you know, it's building blocks, which is protein. So you want to make sure you're getting adequate protein and increasing that just a tad. You know, that way we can get optimal protein synthesis happening and plenty of sleep because that is where the rebuilding happens. So just a note, remember that workouts, they are catabolic, meaning it's a stressor to your body. Your body tears down stuff when you're working out. So it's a slight stress. And that means your body needs to be de-stressed, sleep, right? It needs that sleep. It needs that anabolic window for it to build back up what you tore down at that workout. And that will only happen if you fed it some good quality protein and you're getting good quality sleep. So you do need to prioritize your rest as well, because that's where all the magic happens. And you say you're going 5 days a week. I would suggest to you to increase your intensity during 3 sessions and dial it back. So you're going to stop coming 5 times a week and dial it back to maybe 3-4 times a week and go a little bit more intense at those sessions. Meaning you're going to try heavier weights and you're going to move those weights slower. You're not going to stop early and you're going to be mindful of where you place your body at all times, even during the finisher.
Also, there's a lot of research just on whey protein with seniors who have recovered from illness or long hospital stays. They lose a lot of muscle. Whey protein is it's the ticket for quality protein. Seems to really be effective for specifically seniors. So.
And one thing out there too, since we do high intensity workout, we work through our energy phases in the body pretty quickly. And our first cycle of energy can actually be depleted pretty quickly, so you can't push as hard. So one easy dirt cheap supplement I always recommend is creatine monohydrate. It can kind of help with that first energy phase for high intense workouts. And you just take a little teaspoon of it at night, and that might help just for you to push a little bit harder so you can build a little bit more muscle too. Just another tidbit.
Right on.
Anything else? Diet-wise, increased protein. So for building muscle in your legs, wherever you want the muscle, you just need to make sure you're picking up adequate amount of weight and moving slow, and you will build it.
And those glute activation exercises are tough to do slow because they're torturous when you slow them down a little bit. All right, we go on to the next question.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
All right, so Lauren.
Lauren Croak.
She says, hi there.
Let's see.
So I have 2 questions. I started FitBody almost 2 months ago, been coming 3 times a week, weighed in on 5:30, and signed up for the 6-week challenge. Increased water intake, getting good sleep, following meal plan, although I'm confused about serving sizes. So question 1, I am confused about the meal plan serving sizes. In the beginning of the book, it says women should be eating palm-sized amount of protein, but for example, there is a recipe for the steak and broccoli stir fry. It is meant only for 1 meal lunch, but it says it serves 2. So I assume instead of the 12 ounces of ribeye, I should do 6 ounces, but that is basically also double the amount that it stated at the beginning of the book. I've asked 3 people and I got different answers. Some say I should be eating the full 12 ounces, but then why does it say it serves 2? The others say 1 serving should be 6 ounces. So which is it? I have been feeling super tired, sore, lethargic, despite keeping up with the water, sleep, meals. So am I not eating enough? All right, question two. Weighed in yesterday, and I don't think I've even lost a pound in the last month. And actually weighed about the same 2 months ago. So how do I know if I'm not making any progress or if there is a positive shift in lean muscle mass and body fat reduction? Thanks for making the space for these kinds of questions. Best, Lauren. All right. So question let's go back, one. Tackle question one. So she's confused about the meal plan serving sizes. So with this, and note also, Lauren, that the suggested guideline at the beginning of the book is what you follow, because everybody's body frame is different. That means everybody's protein requirements are also going to be different. So with this, you start as a basic premise with your palm. So as a female, you should be getting 3 to 4 palm-sized servings of protein a day. So now you keep that in mind, and as long as you are getting, I would almost err on the side of caution, say 4. So let's say you're eating two meals a day. You're going to make sure in both of those meals you get 2 palm sizes of protein, and then you're good. So going back to your steak salad, if that's one of your 2 meals, eat the whole 12 ounces. If you're going to have 2 more meals, eat the 6 ounces. Whatever's going to fit in the palm of your hand. So kind of use that as your guideline, and you can ignore the serving suggestions, you know, because you are going to actually be modifying it for your needs based on the size of your palm.
Well, and let's just also reconfirm with Lauren that it's not really necessarily about what you eat at one meal. It's about the macros that you're giving your body throughout the day. So as long as she's getting her protein requirements, like your palm-based requirements, throughout the day, she's solid. Your body's really efficient at moving around its nutrients and macros and using them efficiently in your body. So there's even people that I know that do 1 meal a day. That's you know, like, doesn't Peter Attia do one meal a day?
Yeah, he does. It's called the warrior diet.
Yeah.
Just one big, huge meal a day.
All right.
All right, so now the feeling of lethargic part of your question takes a lot more deeper diving into your situation, because I can't just analyze it based on that statement. The first thing, you said you get sleep, but that doesn't tell me much, because I've had clients that sleep 10 hours and wake up exhausted. So you really need a quality sleep. That means you're having your body actually get into the deep waves of sleep that are restorative and are doing what it's supposed to do. So with this, you need to make some adjustments in making sure that you cut off any type of stimulant like caffeine, nicotine by noon, making sure that you're blocking out any type of light. So even overhead lights in our house can affect the pineal gland in your body, not making you produce serotonin so that you fall asleep at night. So you want to be careful. On all of our devices at our house, we have a blue light filter, and all the smartphones have them now. Look at it. It says the night filter. Make sure that's on. So if you do stare at your phone before bed, it's blocking out the blue light. Same on your computer, anything you're looking at. Try not to watch TV, especially before you're going to bed. You can also turn down the temperature of your room by, you know, a couple degrees. We usually have it between 68 to 72 degrees. Get your body into a deeper sleep, making sure you don't have any ambient light. So black out your room, make sure your phone's not blinking, clock's not blinking. Also, any noise too. So you sometimes, like, just a circulating fan in your room, the ambient noise, that way you're not startled in case you hear something and it wakes you up quickly. Also, if you do have trouble with feeling like you've got restorative sleep, you might want to try a supplement that just helps with neurotransmitters. Magnesium is a good one. Zinc. There's a brand. What's the brand name? Do you remember?
ZMA. MHP makes a cool sleep supplement.
Okay, so MHP, and that's on my online store too, jodyrun.com/store. If you want to look in there, it's called MHP, and that just helps get you into a deep sleep as well.
So besides sleep, we've seen a couple of factors that weigh in. I mean, you're right, you do need to dive in a bit, and it might even require maybe a sit down with one of the coaches. But one of the big things is alcohol intake. What's alcohol intake look like? It could be that...
No alcohol before bed.
I would try removing that, and I know it's not fun, but definitely do that before going to bed. Because even... And I am a nightcap kind of guy. I enjoy a little bourbon, but I've always told myself through life that it helps me sleep, and it absolutely doesn't. It's actually, there's a lot of science that shows that even a little bit of alcohol before bed doesn't give you, you might go to sleep and have your eyes closed, but you're not going to have as quality sleep, and it screws up your REM cycles. So get out of the nightcap mindset if you're someone like me. The other thing is, what we would dive into if we're going to talk about your nutrition on that would be...
Well, real quick, lethargic, make sure you get salts.
Yeah,
you know, if you're hitting...
I was just going to get that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're hitting a wall, you want to make sure that you are really good on your electrolytes. It kind of sounds like you may not be consuming enough salt. And believe it or not, even like taking a bouillon cube, putting it in some hot water, getting a carton of bone broth chicken stock at the store.
Eat an avocado with some soy sauce. That's like that gets your salt, gets potassium, magnesium. That's an awesome combo.
Yeah, and there's a lot of even online supplements that are just the electrolytes, sodium, potassium, magnesium. You can get that, put it into your water. Of course, we sell...
The Everyday Fit.
Everyday Fit has it.
Yeah.
But that would be a first sign I would have you go to. You're getting enough water, put the salt in there.
Another thing that happens is we still deal with almost a religious fervor on the low-fat mentality. It still kind of creeps back in. And I think a lot of people, when they move on to nutrition plans, they still really try to skimp on fat, sometimes to the point where their caloric intake is too low. So it could be that she's not eating enough. You know, maybe she's eating all the protein and the veggies you're giving her, but her fat intake's not high enough, and she's at risk of not only being tired but also losing lean mass. The other side of the thing, would you want to add in on that?
Yeah. So, upping your protein should help you feel a little bit better. So whatever you're consuming now, I would increase it, and increase maybe to another palm size portion. And also what will help too, so you're not feeling as lethargic, is one night a week, you're going to have a carb, a starchier carb with your dinner. So what I would suggest is starting with just a cup of white rice. Add it with your dinner, and white rice is very insulin tropic, so that means it will quickly release insulin, but then the insulin quickly goes out of your system, so it's not lingering around in there, and that's going to help to reset a hormone called leptin. Leptin will allow you to burn more body fat. It's going to make you feel better too. It's going to push the glucose into your muscle cells, just make you feel a little bit better too. So those would be our three tips to help you.
Yeah, and that's also a good kind of testing phase too. If you are following a lower carbohydrate protocol, and for most people they're fine. For some people, they require more carbohydrates here and there, and it's really just a matter of testing how our genetics, the deck of cards we were given with our genes. But be conscious of how you feel, you know, the following days of that, and if it's something night and day, then maybe you want to explore that a little deeper, you know, maybe with our coaches, or we can go into maybe another. Answer another question on the podcast.
Okay, so your second question about your weigh-in. So the main focus of our program, Lauren, are non-scale victories. And why is that, Thad? Why don't we have the scale as their victory?
Because the scale only measures our gravity of the earth. It doesn't measure bone, what's in the digestive system, the muscle mass, fat mass. It's just one solid weight. So we want to know how your clothes are fitting. Actually, are you losing body fat, specifically body fat? Because I mean, it's easy to give someone a cleanse or a detox program where they drink a liquid for 5 days, and yeah, you'll lose a bunch of water weight and digestive weight. You can lose up, you know, 10 pounds in a week. But what are those 10 pounds comprised of? It's silliness to even think like that. But she did say over 2 months though. So let's attack that.
So here's the thing. My best guess is your clothing still fitting the same? If you went to my orientation or have seen any of my orientations, you see the examples I put on there of our 6 week challengers that lost only 5 pounds, but they look dramatically different.
Yeah. You ask the crowd and hey, how much weight did she lose?
And 5 pounds,
like,
yeah.
20 pounds, 30 pounds. Nope. 5.
I get up to 50 pounds. It looks like, she lost, but she only lost 5 on a scale. So what we, you know, focus on here is making those metabolic changes, because what happens as you build this muscle, it's not just muscle, but it's your bones. Your bones will increase in density, which is a great thing. And you won't see that, but it'll weigh more on a scale. And that's a great thing. You want that bone density to prevent osteoporosis. Also, your joints, your fibers, your ligaments thicken. Again, you won't see a visual change with that, but that's going to weigh more on a scale. And to build that muscle fiber, we have to tear it down. It's microtrauma. It's those tiny microscopic tears all over your body. And this is why we're sore after a workout. It's because we're injured. And when you're injured, your body is inflamed and the inflammation pulls water to the inflammation site. Mm-hmm. And that's going to weigh more on a scale as well.
Especially if you're ingesting all the salts and stuff. Yes. We suggest, right?
Exactly.
But we don't care about water. Who cares?
No. And all of those muscle fibers, they hold 3 grams of water. So, you know, if you've got an electrolyte imbalance, all of that water is pulling to each muscle fiber. And that's going to weigh a lot more on a scale, but it's not body fat. So to be successful in our program, you've got to understand, you know, this little different chemistry of changing your body composition.
You're building a machine that's going to keep you where you want the rest of your life. This isn't a temporary thing.
So it could just happen during your weigh-ins that maybe you've done a workout prior that was, you know, new on you. You got inflamed, you're sore, you're carrying a little bit of water weight around. And then, you know, it shows up on the scale. There could be many things, menstrual cycles, the time of day you weigh in, the time of month you weigh in. For females in particular, you want to pick the exact same time of day, exact same time of month for our cycles. Our cycles can throw off our weight, you know, by about 5-10%.
I don't know what Lauren's starting body fat percentage was, but, you know, if it's none of this that we went over, it requires a bit more of a deep dive, right? I mean, we need to really ask some questions. Otherwise, we're kind of throwing darts, darts blindly.
Again, just remember, so you want to know how you're making progress, your clothes. So make sure you have like a pair of jeans or a dress that you're constantly trying on to see if, you know, it's fitting different. And also ask your coaches to see how much body fat percentage you've lost and your lean tissue. So if your lean tissue is actually going away, this would be something we need to address with your hormones. That would be your sleep and your protein intake first and foremost. And then possibly doing that carb night one night a week.
Yeah, we want you building lean tissue. We actually want you gaining weight in some ways.
So. But we want your body shrinking too. So it should look smaller even though it weighs more. All right. So let's move on to Sue. So Sue says, I follow the paleo.
She follows the paleo.
I started when I joined the 80-20 protocol. That means 80% of the time she eats good, 20% of the time she cheats. She said it works well for me. Stuck on the fiber part. My doctor suggested I needed more fiber in my diet due to diverticulitis. Should I take Metamucil? So, Sue, our first protocol would be try to get your fiber with real food because it's going to give you some vitamins and nutrients along with the fiber.
Absolutely.
And it'd be cheaper. So vegetables that have the most soluble fiber are Brussels sprouts, avocados, broccoli. I bet broccoli sprouts, too.
Probably Ooh. Broccoli sprouts, yeah. Flaxseed, turnips, carrots, sweet potatoes, apples, guavas, pears, and sunflower seeds, and of course, figs, famous for fiber, and apricots.
And hazelnuts, too. So maybe avocados are always great. Most people love them. Mm-hmm. They're higher on the list. So have those with some Brussels sprouts roasted in the oven. Those are awesome. You can also add flaxseed. What was your suggestion? Add flaxseed to...
Oh, yeah. You could add ground up flaxseed to sprinkle over salads, things like that. Anything, really. It doesn't add much flavor. The downside of things like Metamucil is, or any of these fiber supplements, they're basically psyllium husk. If you're getting your fiber from real food, you're getting all the vitamins, all the benefits encapsulated in the way that your body is built to... Just a second here. Is built to, you know, to ingest. But if you're getting it from just raw fiber, it's going to push things through your body and you're not going to be able to absorb a lot of the nutrients that came with that food. You're just kind of pushing it through your system and not taking advantage of the food you're eating. So,
and the good healthy gut bacteria loves fiber from vegetables. It's how they stay alive and eat. So if you can populate your gut with that, then they're going to actually have you crave more of the vegetables that you're eating because they want to stay alive.
I don't know if Sue's going to be happy with that answer. All we did was tell her to eat more vegetables.
Eat your vegetables and water, Sue. And
specifically those.
And, you know, put some avocado oil on them or eat them with avocados. Yeah. There you go. All right. So next question is from...
Sobi B. All right.
You want to read it? Hello.
I'll let you read it since it says your name on it.
Okay. Hello, Jody. I have always been a curvy woman, and finding a good, secure sports bra has presented a problem for me. Not having one has stopped me from being able to participate in dynamic movements, such as jumping jacks, etc.
Yeah, you're on this one.
Do you have any suggestion as to brand or type that would be good for me? Thank you. So, Sobe, or to Sobe, I'm not sure if the T is silent. A lot of our clients have the exact same issue. So my first tip to you is going to be to post this in our private group and ask some of the members, because I'm sure they'll shower you with love and ideas and suggestions. But for me, I did just a quick Google search, and I looked at some of the top ranked brands, and Enel, that's E-N-E-L-L. They actually have a women's high impact sports bra on Amazon that got a lot of great reviews and stars. And it looks like it's well built, holds up to quality, and people have used it, said it's one of the best for high intense workouts. So I will provide a link in the show notes for you if you want to take a look at them and try them out. But, you know, unfortunately, like for me, I know just being in sports in general, I mean, I'm not as curvy as most women. So I know a lot of girls who were bustier than me, they always doubled up their sports bras and wore like 2 to 3, which can get uncomfortable, but it does provide more, you know, secure support for you in the meantime until you get, you know, a high impact sports bra. Those are kind of my only tips
good,
I got.
It's a good thing for the private group, really, because.
Yeah.
So.
And I know like a lot of our members, if they're not, you know, bustier themselves, they're going to have a family member or friend that they would know and be able to push you into the right direction a little more so. But again, I'll provide that link to Enel's women's high impact sports bra, the Amazon one, in the show notes. So if you want to click on that, that's yours.
All right. I have one from Edward O.
All right. Oh, this is our last question, guys.
This is a good one too. I'm going to read this one.
Oh, we got 5 minutes to tackle it. Go.
5 minutes? Quick. All right. I started with Fitbody on January 1st, 2019. Kim weighed me in on July 1st, 2019 and measured my body fat. At the end of 6 months, I lost 25 pounds and dropped 5.6% body fat to be in the top part of the proper percentile for my weight. Nice work. Awesome. My goal for the next 6 months is to repeat the results of my first 6 months. This will coincide with my 80th birthday on December 30th. You will all be invited to observe my weigh-in, and I am serving pizza. Although I feel stronger, I'm still having trouble with balance and getting off my feet. All of the girl instructors are stronger than me. How do I get over the embarrassment and ask them to help me off the floor? Also, what exercises can I do at home to supplement the workouts and strengthen my arms? Fitbody is the right choice for males and females at any age. I am the proof. Happy 4th of July, Ed.
All right, Ed.
That's a good one.
So first, congratulations on 80. That is fantastic. And losing more fat, getting to that next goal, just be sure that you're sleeping enough. That's priority. Especially as you get older, priority is sleeping and your protein. So make sure that you're following our nutrition protocols, which is lots of protein, non-starchy fibers, veggies, good quality fats. That's animal fats in particular tend to help men with testosterone production. So keep that in mind. Also, intermittent fasting and also high intensity exercise have both been shown to increase human growth hormone. So that can help you burn fat and build muscle at the same time. Just be sure that you're avoiding or at least limiting your intake of grains, sugar, and processed foods and oil. So save that pizza for your reward. Now, for balance, a misnomer that you have to do any special exercises, you do not. Strength training and getting stronger also improves your balance. So don't think like I have to isolate balance. I'd start by strengthening your legs and your quads. So one thing you can do is do a very slow sumo squat to a one leg isolation hold. So what you're gonna do is sumo squat down, and as you come up, you're just gonna slowly bring one leg off the floor. Once you stabilize, you do it again and switch legs. Now for your chest and arms, you're gonna practice a very slow negative push-up where you do a hand release and a one arm stabilization. So you do a push-up and try to slowly lift one hand off the floor and then go back into the push-up position. And then you slowly, slowly, slowly bring your body back to the floor. You're gonna rest and then push back up into that push-up position and bring your other hand slightly off the floor. So you can also practice these against a wall or on an incline, like if you got a staircase at your house, that will work too. And you can do these every night or every other night for about 15, 20 minutes, and that should also help with your balance and stabilization.
And congrats, Edward. Those are awesome results.
Yeah, that's fantastic. 80 years old and doing our high intense workouts. Fantastic. You're a perfect example. So, all right, husband.
Awesome. Good stuff.
That is. Well, thank you guys again for joining us for episode 1 of Transform You. And we'll see you for
Keep your questions coming in.
Episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Transform You podcast, the Ask Me Anything podcast, where we answer listener questions about health, mindset, nutrition, sleep, exercise, and lifestyle. So if you've got a question you'd like us to tackle, please email it to us at transformyouquestions@gmail.com. That's transform, the letter U, questions@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with anyone who could benefit. We'll see you next episode.